Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. I am joined, as always, by my good friend and colleague and co-host over there in beautiful New York City. A gentleman, you know him well, is Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
The audio coffin is dead, Ty.
That's why they call it a coffin.
That's true. I have recorded my final show in the SB Nation audio coffin, not because I'm leaving SB Nation, but because SB Nation left our old space and Vox Media. And you got a tour of it.
I did.
Last week when you were in New York briefly. So I am recording now in a, 6 by 12 foot like padded room,
okay.
Like a full on voiceover room. There's a carpet beneath me. The walls have been treated for sound. There's actual lights in here.
Okay.
I feel like a new man.
Because the last booth that you were in, the so-called audio coffin.
Yeah.
It was legitimately like a stand up tanning booth.
Right.
It was really close confines in there.
And if you do a show with more than one person in that booth, like I've pulled people in, like we had, who do we have? Martin Rickman in there a little while ago. You know, Ryan has come in every so often. Jane has come in. Like there's all sorts of people that will like end up in this 3 by 3 foot audio coffin.
Yeah.
And after like a solid 45 minutes not getting oxygen and not fully being comfortable where you are, you're just like, should I kiss this person? What are we supposed to do? Our mouths are so close. That's what my brain sounds like in an audio coffin.
Right.
Which should make sense to everybody listening if they've ever listened to the show. So, in a new space, and we're in the off season now, and I'm pretty stacked or stoked about that. I'm also stacked about that, Ty. This is when we have an opportunity to engage, I guess would be the word.
Engage, really explore the studio space, if you
yes.
will.
And just go places, Ty.
Just go places. Yeah, you solicited a bunch of questions and created a document.
Yeah.
This is an outstanding list of questions we've got here, Dan.
Yes.
And what I like about the document is you not only have it loaded up with a ton, but you also put it in a very specific and logical order.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it fits what we do on the show because it's going to start off with football and then devolve into just total madness.
Sex stuff early. Yeah.
This is good. So, all right. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all those usuals. Don't forget to subscribe at itunes.com/solidverbal. We will be here all off season doing one podcast a week every Wednesday. Today, we decided to give back to the verballers out there. We tend to do Q&As periodically throughout the course of the off season. We have a lot planned. Big plans for this offseason and certainly the coming football season. So keep it right here. Our website, again, is solidverbal.com. Dan, before we get into any of our emails and questions and comments, did you want to give a quick run through, a quick rundown of what's going on in and around the college football ether? Is there any news?
Yeah, I mean, of substance, it's mostly draft stuff and, you know, obviously the transition between college and the pros and how people are evaluating players we've watched for 3, 4, 5 years. Arden Key, though, the sophomore stud defensive end for LSU, certainly probably the captain, the guy coming back next year for the Tigers. He has taken an indefinite leave of absence. The circumstances are unknown. So we hope everybody is okay and it's just some sort of weird situation that needs to be dealt with. I don't know if it's academics. I don't know if it's health. I mean, I think that there was a statement. I hope it's true that there's not a health issue. So hopefully everything can get squared away and everybody's okay. Beyond that, Jim Harbaugh hired the dad and a notable coach, but the dad of a 2019 quarterback recruit who coached with him, I believe, at the University of San Diego and is now a high school coach. Not the first time Jim Harbaugh has done that, but it's legal. It's fine. People do it all over the place. Now it's Jim Harbaugh's turn. The 10th assistant coach. Right now you're allowed to have 9 assistant coaches, but a rule allowing for a 10th was up to be voted. It doesn't look like that'll be happening at least until next year. So staff size, or at least official ability to coach and, you know, interact with players, that is still going to be at 9, although schools clearly all over the place hiring analysts to sort of serve in a behind the scenes, game planning, breaking down tape, extension of the coaching staff role. So beyond that, not too much has been happening. The big health thing that we hope turns out all right is Bill Snyder.
Yeah, I believe it's
diagnosed with throat cancer. Is that the official?
But not losing any time on the job.
Correct. We'll be working, and we hope for an absolutely speedy and successful recovery for Bill Snyder, who, listen, he is a wizard, and we hope it sort of deals with everything that he does. So good luck to Bill Snyder and his family and everybody at Kansas State. We're rooting for him.
Absolutely. All right. So relatively slow on the news front. As we get a little closer into draft season, we can cover that. Bring on some of our pals. But in the meantime, let's get to questions.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
You've got mail
on the Solid Verbal.
Daniel Rubenstein, as often as we can, we like to pay homage to those of you who email in at solidverbal@gmail.com, our email address, to those of you who comment on our Facebook posts, to those of you who write in on the Twitter feed. We have a document before us. Mm-hmm. That is laden with questions, Dan. Where are we going first?
Let's start with this. It's Mike. I don't know. Is it Sklens?
I like Sklens.
Sounds like a made-up name.
Sklens, yes.
I ask this every year, and your answer is always awesome. That's a great way to start a question.
Thank you,
which bowl eligible team will see the biggest fall this year, and which non-bowl team will see the biggest rise? Ty.
Okay.
Do any teams, including both of our teams, go Irish, go Ducks, both of our teams finished 4-8. Those two teams seem like obvious answers, but let's...
But he said bowl teams, bowl eligible.
Well, he also said, you know, non-bowl teams can rise. Non-bowl teams will see the biggest rise. I think those two are obvious.
Sure.
But let's start with bowl eligible teams that'll make a fall.
Okay. So the one that kind of jumps out a little bit at me, with full working knowledge of Safo Lufau not being with Colorado next year.
As well as Jim Levitt.
I'm a little concerned about where that could head. They had a charmed season. I'm not rooting for this by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But I would say Colorado's a team that jumped out to me as someone who might be a candidate.
Right.
I know one of my risers would probably be Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia's defense was actually okay for a decent chunk of the year. They had problems on offense. They've obviously got a young quarterback. Had 5 losses this season. I could see them taking a big step forward in year 2 under Kirby Smart, Jacob Eason.
Yep. We can get into this in a little bit. I'm curious about Nebraska having to replace a good chunk on both sides of the ball. You know, top receivers. They're going to have a big quarterback battle. Return a lot of talent on defense. The secondary should be looking pretty good, even with the loss of Nate Gary. But I'm curious about that because they started so quickly. I don't think they're a 6-6 team, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer this year for them. I think Colorado is reasonable, although they've recruited pretty well, and the infusion of talent should continue there. Elsewhere in the Pac-12, I don't think there's a big faller to me.
Well, the big obvious one is Western Michigan. I don't know if they count in this.
Yeah, or Houston. Yeah, perhaps.
Western Michigan, Houston, obviously both teams losing their coach.
Yeah.
Western Michigan losing some of their artillery in terms of offense. So that to me is pretty obvious.
What about Texas A&M? They were treading water this past year, bringing in a grad transfer quarterback. I'm not all that confident that the problem is solved at quarterback. They lose a number of playmakers up front, defensively, led by Myles Garrett. They lose some weapons on offense. They've recruited extraordinarily well, but they seem to be a water-treading team. And I don't know that the John Chavis experiment has fully worked out to the level I think Texas A&M had hoped, especially with the Aggies and their ability or lack thereof against the run.
Right, right.
So I'm not fully confident that they're going to make an aggressive move forward. Texas A&M's 2017 schedule. I know a lot of teams are scheduling big, fun, exciting neutral site games, home and home. So they start the season at UCLA.
Mm.
Newish look UCLA team on offense with the new offensive coordinator. And Jed Fish coming over from Michigan, the quarterback coach from Michigan. Josh Rosen should be much healthier. Still a lot of concerns about the UCLA offense, even with a Josh Rosen. I think fair to say with how they looked most of the season last year. So they're at UCLA, and then the rest of their non-conference schedule early on, Nicholls State, Louisiana Lafayette. They're at Arkansas. Well, it's a neutral site game in Arlington at AT&T Stadium. South Carolina and Alabama at home.
Okay. Not bad.
All right. If you can split those, that's a big win. They're at Florida, which, who knows, with the Florida offense moving forward, and they lose a ton on defense. Mississippi State at Kyle Field, Auburn at Kyle Field, New Mexico. Do you want to play New Mexico and future Notre Dame head coach Bob Davey? I don't think you do. They go to Ole Miss, they go to LSU. So it's a pretty even schedule. It doesn't end favorably, but Ole Miss could be, who knows, with Shea Patterson, but the talent isn't what it was a couple years ago. I 6-6, 7-5 isn't super far off to me for Texas
A&M. It's not far off. If they do like the doggy paddle from their current state of whatever through 2017, I will not at all be surprised. They just keep it in neutral.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if I feel a big rise or a big drop off for A&M. I think A&M fans are in that same boat. That's part of the problem. They're not sure if this thing is turned in the right or the wrong direction.
So who are your growers then?
Well, the big one for me is Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia, anybody else?
I think Georgia's a big one. Miami could have been in that conversation, but Brad Kaya went pro.
Mm-hmm.
So that one sort of caught me a little bit off guard.
I'm curious. I would love to see the momentum in Ames. Let's go Iowa State. I'd love to see Matt Campbell get them to, you know, there's a drive to six element to a few teams. Kansas? Ty. Yeah. I'm not insane for saying it.
Having a good recruiting class, aren't they?
They're recruiting well. They did some little things well last season. They beat a below average team in Texas. Come on, Ty. Get on that train. Syracuse, do you see them getting to six games?
I like their quarterback situation.
Okay.
I like my boy Dino. Yeah.
Okay, next question?
Next question, yeah.
Next question. Top five or just any list of coordinators that you think could be in line to get a head job sooner rather than later.
So this is kind of like the Jesse Palmer special right here, right?
This is the Jesse Palmer memorial, even though we assume he's still alive question.
Right.
I think we're both going to agree on Jomo.
Joe Moorhead, offensive coordinator for Penn State. He was rumored to be in the mix for some jobs that came open this fall.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Moorhead is on that list. Another obvious one's got to be Dave Aranda, right?
Dave Aranda, yeah. Who I think long-term may have his sights set even higher, but yeah.
Dave Aranda, current defensive coordinator at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, current offensive coordinator for Oklahoma and Bob Stoops. He's a younger guy. I think he's younger than both you and I. And he's already coaching at the major college level in a serious capacity. So there's that. And the other one who I don't know if he gets quite the recognition he deserves, but Todd Orlando's had a pretty good run the last couple of years.
That was a name I had as well. He's been putting together defense after defense, be it at Utah State or Houston. Now he's in a position at Texas. We have no idea what jobs are going to come open. Very fragile nature of employment at the college head coaching level. Todd Orlando will have an opportunity. I know he interviewed for the Houston head job. He was the Houston defensive coordinator these past couple seasons. That'll be a big name in the Pac-12. T. Martin, if Sam Darnold has another enormous year, I think he's becoming more and more well-regarded and obviously has the history in the SEC as a player. I mean, Pep Hamilton, I know a lot of people like him. He'll be running an offense for the first time in a while at the college level at Michigan, taking over there. I know we have a couple questions about Michigan. Tom Allen would have been my answer had Tom Allen not been promoted already.
Yeah. All right.
All of a sudden. So that's my answer there. I think that's a good batch.
All right. Rapid fire. Where are we going next here?
Rapid fire. We're going to JP. That last question was from, I think it was Christoph. It's not the full Christopher.
Was that the guy that ran the Truman Show?
Was that his name?
Christoph.
Is that Ed Harris' name? Christoph?
Yeah.
I like that movie. The movie freaked me out a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
JP wants to know best taco truck in Los Angeles. That is a three-pronged answer for me. I still love the Kogi barbecue truck. A classic.
So good.
Ricky's for fish tacos. It's behind a Vons in East Hollywood, not far from the Scientology Center.
Nice.
And also the Mariscos Jalisco truck.
Wow.
Mariscos being shrimp, seafood.
Nice.
Well, just seafood. Camarones is shrimp. The Mariscos Jalisco truck, they have like two or three of them now downtown in East LA. It is the best shrimp taco in America, and it's not particularly close. They're crispy and fried and amazing and smothered in salsa and avocado. And related, what do you think of USC's national championship chances in 2018?
I feel better.
Come on, ride the train.
I feel better about it. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Western Michigan, that's a winnable game.
Favorite bye week on the schedule, you see.
Yeah, Stanford second week, Texas third week. That'll be interesting, but they got him at home.
Body blow. Tom Herman in a big spot.
At Washington State, Oregon State, Utah, at Notre Dame, at Arizona State. Yeah, I mean, it's front-loaded and back-loaded, and there's a lot of like creamy stuff in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there. Washington and Oregon, not on this schedule.
No.
That's probably a pretty decent thing. Oregon should have a good offense. I'm not going to talk about their defense. Washington should return a really nice offense, though they lose John Ross, number of big players on defense, but they return Vita Vea. They're going to lose at least one game. That doesn't mean they're not going to win the national championship, but without a bye week, they'll probably lose. Man, at Notre Dame, Utah, and at Arizona State in consecutive weeks. It feels like they're going to lose one of those, which they should absolutely not lose. I'm not as worried about going to Colorado, although I like Steven Montez some. UCLA, we have no idea what they're going to look like.
No idea. They go anywhere.
That Texas game, though, Ty. Tom Herman is a good big game coach. Yeah. Irrefutable, right?
Yeah.
After last year beating Louisville and Oklahoma.
After Stanford, they'll be nice and tender. Yeah, I can see it.
That could be it.
Early body blow warning right here.
Early body blow warning. That's all we're going to say.
I got the sound. There you go. Just what you always wanted. All right.
10.5 over under. That's what I'm just making up for USC wins.
Wins? Under.
Wow. Okay.
10.5 is a lot.
I agree with you.
All right.
Next question.
Yeah. Where's next?
Sort of related. Texas back yet from Joey Chamberlain.
Ooh, great name. Texas will always be Texas.
How many wins does Texas need to be, quote, back? It's not even back. It's been so long. Is Texas good?
I don't even think it's a win thing, Dan. Ultimately, it's going to be a win thing in like 3 years, but I think it's a quality thing. I think it's a consistency thing.
Okay.
I think they will get offensive consistency now under Tom Herman that they didn't have previously. He's just so good at coaching offense. If he can do it at Houston, if he could do it in the capacity he did at Ohio State,
right,
in that crazy turn of events with Cardale Jones, I think he can do it pretty much anywhere, especially at Texas where he's going to have a ton of talent.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the schedule now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how many losses you think are on this schedule. Texas brings a lot back. They're actually quite young. Maryland, San Diego State, at USC, that could be a loss. That might be one. Mm-hmm. At Iowa State, excuse me. K-State, Oklahoma.
I pencil in nothing with Texas Iowa State, by the way. I pencil in nothing.
Oklahoma could be a loss. Probably will be. Oklahoma State. I don't know about that.
Tough team.
Yeah.
Tough team.
At Baylor, who the hell knows?
Right.
At TCU, could be a loss.
Yeah.
Kansas could be a loss.
I mean, we say could be a loss. Did they not lose to TCU like 31-6 in extraordinarily ugly fashion?
They did.
Yep.
At next. West Virginia and close out the year at home against Tech.
Yeah.
So if I said over under 8 wins.
Oh, I think I'd take the under.
Okay.
Okay, so Tom Herman is a great head coach. We agree with that in terms of like his ability to sort of establish a culture and communicate and hire and recruit. I think he is a very, very, very good head coach. Great might be too far, but the Houston offense wasn't particularly good last year.
No.
You speak confidently about Tom Herman's offensive ability. They finished season like 80th nationally in offense, and that's playing in a non-power conference.
Yeah. So they played their best games against the best teams in their schedule.
Exactly. They got up for games. They almost played to their opponents a little bit too much. So I'm curious to see, because it's going to be a shift on some level, and they don't have Donta Foreman, who's gone pro. I'm curious about their offensive identity and what it looks like. I'm not ready to pencil in a statement like We know their offense is going to be good. I don't know that. I'm not ready to say that.
All right. Fair enough. Joe, is it Yanes or Yanis? Our next question.
Let's go Yane.
Yane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are the top five least likable fan bases in college football?
This what question, is your definition, Ty?
This question is going to get us in a world of trouble. Least yeah. likable fan bases.
Yeah.
What is my definition?
So is this the fan base that is the most consistently obnoxious by our arbitrary definition of consistent? Is it an in-person thing? Like in the stadium, they're the worst. Is it, you know, a Twitter thing? Is it a harassment thing of everybody that can be harassed? Is it an unrealistic expectation thing?
Okay. I see where you're going with this. So I would say it's two-pronged, the answer. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I will look at is consistency.
Okay.
Not all fan bases fall into that category. Not all right. fan bases are consistently terrible or consistently great. And then beyond that, if you run out of options, I think you need to look at the extremes, look at the polls mm-hmm. to see, at least in our limited knowledge here, which ones have been at their worst when things are going a little bit haywire with the program.
Can I nominate the worst, very, 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 very outlying bottom
sure.
of a fan base? It's got to be Penn State, right?
I would say so, yeah. Penn yeah, State is okay. on my list. Not
I'm
as
just, I'm just talking about the lowest 1%.
Yeah, not as a consistently terrible fan base. Certainly every fan
as a
base
whole.
Has their obnoxious entities that yeah. no one wants to claim.
Right.
But Penn State, at its absolute worst, yeah. And I'm saying that as a Penn State grad.
I know, yeah.
I'm going to say also here, as a fan of this team, that Notre Dame's fan base needs to be on this list.
Yeah.
I've been in countless stadiums with Notre Dame fans who are just utterly clueless as to what's going on.
Do you think that's like a hearing aid thing?
I've had bad experiences with Notre Dame fans mm-hmm. in the stadium. And then along the same lines, I think Michigan needs to be on this list. Not because, again, of any pure animosity towards you or I,
right.
but they're just really sensitive in a way that I don't always expect. So Michigan,
right.
I feel, deserves to be on this list if I'm doing a top five.
I'm going to recuse myself. I am marrying into a proud Michigan family.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You have other options.
Now, there is a self-importance to Michigan fans. That's not the most common thing across college football. But I will say this. Solid fiancé's uncle, who's great. I was just hanging out in Chicago because I had a bridal shower to go to. I had a tasting. I had a catering tasting, whatever it's called, to go to. Met with the band. Anyway, met with, you know, had pizza as a family thing. The uncle was there. The uncle. One of her uncles was there. And he's die hard Michigan.
Okay.
And it was the most sort of realistic and measured a conversation I've ever had with him. So maybe the like back-to-back third place divisional finishes. Is that what it is?
I think
third
so.
Place
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's sort of tempering the Harbaugh hype a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Yeah.
Who
that's
else,
my very
who
small
else is on
size.
Your list?
Tennessee as a whole is
yeah, you said that at the
abhorrent.
Live show too. Now, I don't
yeah.
have a whole lot of experience with Tennessee fans. The Tennessee people I've met have been rather kind.
I think, there's a great portion of Tennessee fans who are kind, but there's something about having A-list expectations with a non-current A-list program and seeing everybody else around you have their like moment in the sun, like, oh, here's Florida for a few years. Oh, here's Auburn for a couple of years. Here's Alabama, never, ever, ever ending. You know, South Carolina pops up, Texas A&M pops up with a Heisman, you know, but Tennessee hasn't. They have that expectation, and there's like this bubbling. It's the crock pot of evil
yeah, okay.
to me.
I got
it's bubbling over with Tennessee, and that sort of comes out in bad ways.
Florida, for me, is on the list. There are a lot of obnoxious Florida fans, and I say that yeah. primarily because most of the Florida fans I know are the ones making Notre Dame jokes.
I don't think they're the worst even in the state, Ty.
No, Florida State is also on my list. So my
yeah.
five teams, again, Notre Dame, Michigan, Florida State, and I got Penn mm-hmm. State at the bottom.
Okay.
Florida State on this list anyway falls into the same category as Penn State.
Yeah.
If we're going to define by the worst, Florida State had a little bit of a run there with Jameis Winston where it got pretty sour. But
right.
by and large, I haven't had problems with Florida State people in a while. And I root for Florida State. They're an exciting team. But
yeah.
There was that one moment in the sun that I will never forget. Okay.
Next question.
Where are we going next here?
Quickly, you don't need to rank a top three. This is our pal Dan Klobuchar asking, who's your favorite announcing team aside from like the big A-list guys, TV announcing or women team that you particularly enjoy? And that can include the sideline reporter.
I mean, it's got to be Adam Amin, right?
We do love Adam Amin. We had a couple people at the live show who took exception to Mac Brown as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty big fan. He campaigned against Cal, and that was garbage. But other than that, I enjoy him as a broadcaster. I will also say, and not many people are going to be able to confirm or deny this, but I'm biased. We're biased as a show. Really like Ted Robinson and Yogi Roth.
Yeah.
Okay. We see what Yogi does preparing for games and just how passionate he is about football.
Yeah.
There is not a single take from Yogi Roth. It is all just football streaming out, a love of football, and the deep, deep dive of nerdiness of stuff he notices. I think it's great.
I am more apt to give you my underrated announcer, underrated analyst. They call him a field analyst. I say it every year. I tweet it like two or three times a year. Tom Luginbill does an awesome job on the sidelines.
Yeah, he's also super prepared.
Does an awesome, awesome job. And to that same degree, Todd McShay's in the conversation too. Those guys bring a lot to every broadcast they work.
Yeah. Interesting how women are sideline reporters and men are field analysts.
Yeah. Well, that's a separate topic altogether.
All right. Next question. Jeremy, you guys planning to have kids?
That's an awkward transition there, man.
So it is. Well, the question before that was, what would you do if you switch bodies/lives for a day?
Wow.
What would you do, Ty?
I guess the first thing I'd do would be to try and figure out why you're so bad at ping pong.
Oh my God, how dare you?
Beyond that, I think
I have rec specs now, Ty.
I think I'd want to go for a run in your body. Okay. I'd want to feel your pain. That would perhaps give me a deeper connection to who you are as a human.
What a strange answer.
It is.
I would just go over to Mama H's house and enjoy a homemade meal and just enjoy her just scorching hot takes on literally anybody under 30 on television.
So if we switch bodies,
yeah,
would we be able to tell our loved ones and our friends
that
we were in someone else's body, or would we have to like act as if we were, like a Freaky Friday type scenario?
Are you asking me for permission to be with my lady?
Well, I'm not directly asking it, but I guess I kind of am, yeah. And it's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street. I would say no, but I would feign, like if the wife Kate were particularly feeling me,
right.
I would say, I would beg off and say, not tonight, honey, not tonight.
Okay.
I never say the word honey. I don't know why I'm saying it now.
That's weird.
I'm trying to inhabit you.
Right. No, I don't do that either, Dan.
I would say no, but I would be very curious about like behind closed doors, what the dynamic is like.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would not say, Kate, I'm actually Dan and Ty's body. I would play it up.
Okay.
I think she would discover it really early because I don't know that I'd be able to speak like you. I'm a very dumb person.
Well, if you had my body, you'd have my voice.
True, but would I have your soul?
You probably wouldn't have my soul, no. Exactly. And I wouldn't have your soul either.
Okay.
That's a great question.
Give me one coach you think would make up for a very good president in college football.
James Franklin. Total snake oil salesman. You put him out on the presidential circuit, on the recruiting trail. That's his element.
So that's the adjective, is enjoyable in this question. Aaron asks, enjoyable. Do you enjoy a snake oil salesman?
Coach from each conference to most likely, be an enjoyable president.
So here's the baseline I'm giving you. I'm going to speak for Aaron here. I'm going to need some charm. I'm going to need some likability. I'm going to need some intellect. I'm going to need an ability to command a crowd, and I'm going to need some charisma. I'm going to need like a statesman-like presence.
I think James Franklin's the answer here.
Okay, because you said snake oil salesman. That has a negative connotation. I'm looking for positive attributes.
Well, he said presidential candidate, which kind of has a negative connotation too.
I want, you're absolutely true in that statement. I want an enjoyable candidate in a positive way.
Gundy would be interesting because he'd be a loose cannon.
Does he come across as smart publicly to you?
I think he could.
Kirby Smart's already the governor of Georgia, so that's a decent enough
answer. I have Kirby Smart written down here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would play well to that Southern conservative base, okay, if only because of how he dresses.
Yeah.
Mark Richt at Miami is interesting. God-fearing man.
Charisma's not
high
there.
High moral character. Charisma, not so much.
High diving.
Yeah. David Shaw?
I think David Shaw is my answer.
All right. Let's get back to the question at hand.
Let's just make
this quick because we got to do.
You guys having
read.
Kids?
Are you having kids
together? Me and you?
No. With solid wife, solid fiance.
Solid fiance. Are we going to have kids? That's the plan. But Ty, for some reason, doesn't work out. Okay.
All right.
Are you planning on having kids?
That is the initial plan as of now.
What initial plan? Ty, you're married.
That is the plan as of now.
Would you go with an H name in front of Hildenbrandt?
No.
Would you go with a sound that ends in ill? Would you go like Phil Hildenbrandt?
No.
Would you go, how modern would you go with your name? Do you skew classic?
I skew classic. I skew more syllables than less. Probably wouldn't go like Jamarcus, I don't think, but definitely something more of the classic type approach.
All right. These are the fastest rising boys' names for January 2017.
Might need like 2019, 2017s.
Well, I know, but I'm just telling you right now, stop me when we get to a name that you would say, I could see blank Hildenbrandt.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. This is weird, by the way, but okay.
Oh, my God. This name is so strange. Kid. K-Y-D.
No. Kid? That's a fast riser?
That's plus 4,000%.
Okay. No. Definitely not.
Okay. Benajah.
Benajah. No. I can't even say it. No.
Sulien? Sulien.
Are you on the English language?
I'm on.
Names?
I think so. Yeah. I can't pronounce anything. So number four is Koa. Five, Koa? Gunther. Six, Cashin. Seven, Beauregard. Eight, Albi. Nine, Isaac. 10, Lucian. The number three fastest rising girl's name is Tahiti. Next question. So the answer is yes, most likely. Our friend Dakota, a.k.a. Dak, just got a vegetable twister.
I have one of those.
I know. This is good. Yeah. I've always heard spiralizer.
Yep.
But I like vegetable twister a lot better.
The solid wife cut her finger on it, had to take her to get stitches. So be careful, Dakota.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Makes those like, you can make little veggie noodles with them.
That's right.
Instead of using pasta. Do you guys use any out of the ordinary cooking instruments like that on a daily basis? Bonus, what's the weirdest cooking instrument you've seen?
I have a good answer for this.
You spiralized, Ty.
I have spiralized, but I have a new entrant in this category that I am head over heels for.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer before I give mine?
Not really. I use a potato masher to make guacamole.
Okay.
No. I really don't have a strong answer, but I did just register for a spiralizer, so I guess that would be my answer.
It's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
I recently picked up, thanks to an Amazon deal, one of these sous vide cookers.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the sous vide cooking fad right now?
I am. So basically, if you don't know, sous vide is you put your food in, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Ty, a plastic bag, and you set it into a water bath set to cook it at a very specific temperature.
That's right.
It's a low temperature for an extended amount of time. So it evenly cooks to a very specific, to a decimal point temperature.
That's correct. So my very limited understanding of the French language is that sous vide means to basically cook in a vacuum. You're cooking in a vacuum. So you put whatever food it is you want to cook in a plastic bag. You can use a Ziploc bag. You can use, if you've got a vacuum sealer, you could use that too. But you basically put it in. You set your sous vide cooker to warm the water to a very specific temperature.
Right.
Drop the food in, let it cook for usually about 45 minutes.
Okay.
And then you pop it out. And it is awesome. I had one of the best steaks I've ever eaten in it. I've had chicken. I've had fish. I've been trying the full work since I got this thing. So that undeniably is my answer.
Have you done the reverse sear thing?
I have. Like
you slow. Okay, so you sous vide it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's cooked all the way through, but you want some crust to it. Then you throw it for a quick sear in a
That's
pan
right.
or something.
That's right. That's what I did with my my steak, and it was fantastic. So I'd recommend it to anybody.
Can you let the fans decide a Final Fantasy thing score via Google form? Hard to hear Dan bully Ty for 45 minutes to steal a tie. That comes from Kevin.
All right. So did you,
do you feel bullied?
I don't feel bullied. No.
Everybody's on your side.
Everybody's on my side.
Yeah.
The feedback was unanimous in favor of me.
Yeah.
So I think I won.
Ty, like the labor secretary nominee of the day, I humbly withdraw. I humbly withdraw and concede that I am not the man to take over the throne. You have won our first ever calculated fantasy things.
All right.
Thank competition.
You. That was from Kevin. Thank you. All right, let's pay some bills. And actually, Dan, we got a question about paying the bills.
We did. Hans wants to know why you're the one who is always sort of in charge of taking care of our advertisements.
So usually I have the ads in front of me.
Right.
It's not that I don't trust Dan with any kind of treasured ad reading here.
He's I think more it's a good capable. Strategy, though.
He's more than capable.
Yeah.
Would you like me to go first? We have two. Would you like me to kind of set the stage, or do you want to go first and then I could follow you?
You know what, Ty? I'm just going to jump into the water.
Okay.
I'm just jumping in. Here we go. Ty, as you know, 2016 was one for the books. Cubs finally won the World Series. We said goodbye to far too many celebrities. Hey, rest in peace, Prince. We love you. And the election? Game changer, Ty.
Yeah.
Game changer. And if 2017 is anywhere near as eventful as last year was, it might get a little difficult to stay informed, Ty. You know that it's difficult. You know that it's a challenge. So many options out there. But it doesn't have to be. Thanks to our friends at the Texture app, Ty.
Texture.
With 200 plus magazines available, Texture offers access to in-depth interviews and articles from the convenience of your phone or tablet. It really is that easy, Ty. Yeah, I've been reading a lot, Ty.
Yeah?
I've been reading a lot. And Texture is a great option for that. Because so much information coming at you fast and furious. It's nice to have it offline. It's nice to just have your Texture and have it ready to go. So, you know, they have recommendations, they have feature articles, you can go old issues of magazines you love, Sports Illustrated, they just released the swimsuit issue, I believe today.
Yeah.
Did you see, and we're going to keep it about sports here, Ty, did you see Allie Reisman's butt?
No, I did not.
Because I did, and she is a great athlete.
Okay.
And she is a great athlete, so that's Sports Illustrated, and that's available.
Right.
$9.99 a month, normally, but if you sign up right now, at texture.com/solid, S-O-L-I-D. You get a 14-day free trial. See, now you know why Tide does these reads.
What was that offer code again?
Offer code is solid. Texture.com/solid, S-O-L-I-D. When you go to texture.com/solid.
All right. Our second sponsor. That wasn't bad, Dan.
I got some butt talk in there.
That was good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Second sponsor this evening. You've heard him before. Indochino.
Yeah.
It's spelled I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. When I first read this many moons ago, I pronounced it Indochino on the very first time that I read this. And then from that point forward, they sent over a handy little pronunciation guide. So now it's Indochino. They have chi, C-H-E-E in all caps here so that I don't screw it up. Have you gotten your suit yet for your wedding?
I have not, Ty.
What are you waiting for? When are you getting married again?
Late May.
You better get on the ball here, man.
I know. Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
I got to get on it.
Because when I got married in late April and I didn't have my suit by like mid to late December, Solid Fiance at that time was all over me. All over me about it. You got to get that suit. What are you waiting for? You got to get that suit.
It's true.
So don't put it off any longer. I'm just going to throw Indochino out there because every guy looks better in a good fitting suit. Indochino, they're one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands out there. They make it easy for guys to get a great-fitting, high-quality suit. Not only that, but they offer shirts, and they offer it all at an incredible price. Basically, the way it works is you go to Indochino.com, again, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O.com, or they have a showroom, 9 showrooms to be exact, here in North America. You can pick from hundreds of fabrics and patterns. Basically, figure out what it is you want on your suit. You pick your customizations, everything from lapels to pleats to jacket linings, much, much more. You submit that. You submit your body measurements. And then you don't got to do anything. You just wait around. Mm-hmm. And Daniel, you can step into the best, most stylish suit you've ever worn in just 4 weeks.
I've always said, people waiting 5+ weeks for suits are suckers.
This is what I'm saying. So if you're really up against it, and if you drag, if you continue to drag your feet on this wedding suit thing.
I know.
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Done and done. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389. Indochino.com. Enter solid at checkout. 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. The shipping is free. Indochino.com. Again, the promo code is solid. Any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. You don't have to worry about a bad-fitting suit. Expensive trips to the tailor. Get ready to look like $1 million. And actually, the last time we read this, Dan, I had a guy email in and ask for the offer code. Wanted to know how long it lasted because he was going to get it, not only for his suit, but for the other guys in his wedding as well. So just an option for you if you're interested.
What's the best taco to eat for breakfast? Our longtime pal Caroline wants to know. Scramble up some eggs, some chorizo, maybe some crispy potatoes, throw some salsa, hot sauce on there, crisp up your corn tortilla a little bit. You're good to go.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Tacos al pastor, con piña o sin piña, with so or that without pineapple.
Not, that is not English, right?
That is not English. Okay. I would say with some pineapple. With some pineapple. When you go to dinner, this is from Carter, and a movie with the solid wife/fiancé, which comes first, dinner or the movie?
Carter raises a very interesting question.
Yeah.
Typically, it's dinner and a movie.
Correct.
You start with the dinner, you finish out with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is when I start with the dinner, and you're gonna know this all too well, Dan. Not because we've gone on many dinner and movie dates together, mind you, but you've seen me in action watching my team in the national championship game.
I think so. You see me in action making out during a movie.
That's right. I will.
It's all in the hips.
Cite my relatively recent performance at the first Avengers movie, whenever that came out. Mm-hmm. We did the dinner and a movie thing. Did the dinner. It was great. Went to the movie. It was a later showing because we did a later dinner. And Avengers, an action-packed Marvel thriller. I was out cold. Out cold in the movie theater, wearing the 3D glasses. Not my proudest moment.
That's my problem with the solid fiancé.
Where I'm going with this is that maybe if I do the movie first and then the dinner second, that gives me more of an impetus to stay awake.
Right.
So maybe I am doing it wrong. Going
so like a 5 p.m. movie, 7 p.m. dinner.
Because if you get the early movie, then you beat the rush too. You go at 5 p.m., no one's going to be at the theater.
I'm totally with you. I don't know that I've actually ever done it, but upon thinking about this question, movie and dinner's great. Especially, but here's the thing now though. I don't know if they have this in Allentown. I assume that they do. Do you have the theater that serves food yet?
Yeah.
Like they will bring food to your seats and it's like actual.
They're
like,
building one about 5 minutes away from here. Yeah.
Okay. I've been to a couple of those. Those are nice. And that combines everything. And that's excellent. I don't like staying out late. I like sleeping. I like lounging. That's the answer to
my favorite current movie/cinema trend is the movie theater down the street now does reserve seating only.
Oh, that's great.
Reserve seating only. So you go online, you go Fandango, not a sponsor, get your tickets. Pick your seats, and then you don't have to worry about going super early to get a seat. Just walk in, sit down, you're good to go.
Ty, on that note, do you see Michigan taking a step forward or step back in 2017?
Wow.
Jason?
I think a step back.
Same. So they've recruited very well. Undeniably so. They have maybe the best receiver in the country coming in. I believe his name is Donovan Peoples-Jones, or one of the maybe five best receivers coming in, which is necessary because they lose Chesson and Darbo, right?
Sure.
They lose Jake Butt. I don't think the Wilton Spate year was considered to be an overwhelming success with how he finished out the year and performed against the better defenses on their schedule. Defensively, I think they lose their entire secondary and their entire defensive line, but they blew out a ton of teams. And of course, Jabril Peppers, who was everywhere, they blew out a bunch of teams. So they did get a ton of rotation experience in. I don't see them getting to the playoff this coming year.
No, nor do I.
Oh, this is interesting. How do you just feel in general about Bob Diaco and Nebraska?
I'm a huge Bob Diaco fan. I think it's a great fit at Nebraska.
Okay. So I've looked up Nebraska, and as it turns out, they lose a lot of people.
Yes, they do.
The secondary is mostly intact. There's a lot of promise and depth on defense, but it is not rife with experience. And offensively, quarterback battle, they lose Terrell Newby. They lose both Brandon Riley and Jordan Westerkamp. Up front, they lose a good deal. I think it's a step back year, but I think Diaco puts together a promising, and it's not an aggressive attacking defense, Ty.
Nope.
It's much more smart, react,
it's be bend
sound.
But don't break.
Right.
It's bend but don't break. And again, the best defenses of the Brian Kelly era were under Bob Diaco.
This is true.
They were under Bob Diaco. So I think he's a good fit. We talked
with
about
a
this.
Ton of top blue chip talent, though.
Right. We talked a little bit about this at the live show. Kind of a weird dude.
Right.
Kind of a weird dude, but I think he will fit in really well there. So I'd be excited if I were a Nebraska fan.
So I have a question. I think this should be our last question. It's a life question from, it looks like, a Wisconsin fan, Ty. If you want to get on the same page.
This is my favorite question maybe that we've ever received.
It's one of my favorite questions that we've ever received. And it was such an interesting question to me and that I didn't have the immediate answer for. So I actually conferred with our resident expert, our life expert, Dr. Jane. I don't have a recording. It sounded like I was about to play it. But she had a very good answer that I will also talk about. So why don't you, since I did the ad read, why don't you take this?
I humbly call upon the almighty altar of Ty and Dan for life help and how to say no. Here is the background. Aww. My wife works in a relatively small office. One of her male employees, along with his girlfriend, became a part of our friend group a few months ago. Mm-hmm. While they've become part of our larger group, they're not necessarily staples in the evening and on weekend activities. However, we all enjoy spending time with them. About a month ago, the coworker proposed to his girlfriend, and she said, yes, congratulations.
Hey, give love a chance, GLAC.
Well, apparently the coworker has a large number of groomsmen, and the bride-to-be has quite a few less. Over the past couple weeks, she's referred to my wife being perhaps one of her bridesmaids, acknowledging that she has a lot of groomsmen to match up as one of the primary reasons. Mm-hmm. The wedding isn't for another year, and it's on the other side of the country. My wife isn't 100% sure about committing to this role. However, she hasn't officially been asked yet. He says, as a somewhat recently married man and a 100% recently engaged man, I come to you two gentlemen for help with our quandary. When/how should my wife raise her lack of interest? Can my wife say no without causing problems at work? Is it weird if my wife is being slotted into this position after knowing the bride-to-be for only mere months? Dan, Ty, help. I need life advice. This is an awesome question.
It's great.
Awesome question, and I'm not even going to lie. I was thinking about this one for the last 24 hours.
Mm.
So you said you conferred.
Yes. Do you want Dr. Jane's opinion first? Yes, we can go into what Dr. Jane said because I think it's a good jumping off point.
Okay. What did Dr. Jane say?
She said part of being an adult, part of being a grown-up, and I'm quoting because I have a lot of questions still.
Yeah.
Is learning how to be direct with people and learning how to be honest with people in a way that is mature and not harsh, but at the same time, leaving no doubt as to where you stand. Okay. It's a tough thing to do. I mean, this situation and anything else, but that's part of what it is. Now, obviously, you said go sleep in another room when we were faced with a conundrum before with the dog. So we're all growing, Ty. We're all growing. So she said specifically, it doesn't sound like a date has been set for the wedding, right?
Correct.
So there hasn't been an official, hey, I would be honored if you were my bridesmaid. That conversation hasn't happened yet. But when it does, when a date is set and it's across the country and she's like, hey, I'd be really honored, the proper response is probably, hey, I'm really honored that you asked me. I'm not exactly sure if I'll be able to travel with, you know, just life happening, and I don't want to be able to commit to that anything, but I'm looking forward to attending as a guest. I'm just not sure I can commit to anything else. And
that doesn't sound very direct. That's hedging. That's not direct.
I think it's pretty direct.
I mean, it's
well, it's not accepting it, and then it's not accepting it and like begging off.
Right.
It's saying, I can't do the bridesmaid thing, but I would love to attend as a guest.
Okay. What does Dan Rubenstein have to say?
It's tough, man. It's a tough thing, but I think that's probably the best thing. So Jane also has a really good strategy for reacting to an invitation without committing. I don't know if you have a strategy for something like that. Like you respond in an affirmative without actually saying you'll go to something.
Yeah, well,
Jane says
this is one of the advantages of being married, Dan.
Right.
Because once you're married,
you always have an excuse.
Oh, thank you. I have to check with so and so.
Well, that's not really a response for
right
being a bridesmaid.
Right.
But if the bridesmaid or the soon to be wife is talking to the woman in the office about, you know, we're going here for the bachelorette party, always respond with, and this is, I'm quoting Jane here. She does this all. I've invited Jane to things, and this is what she said. Oh, fun. Oh, fun. It doesn't say, oh my God, that will be amazing for me to go to.
Right.
She's just acknowledging the fun of what it sounds
She's
like.
Just adding a word behind oh.
Oh, fun.
Right.
Oh, fun.
Here's what I'm thinking.
What are you thinking?
You guys are going at this the wrong way. He gave you all that you need to know in this question. And so instead of focusing in on Mr. Wisconsin, how you should get out of it, the most important thing to evaluate first is where, in fact, this trip would take you. All right. Now, it's not just the trip, but hold on. As someone who's been to a bunch of these types of things.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, the people in this part of the country are going to have weddings in Southern California, in Cancun, somewhere in the Caribbean, somewhere fun that I wouldn't normally have an excuse to go to.
Right.
Judging from the fact that he's a Wisconsin fan, I'm gonna make a guess here that he's not from a warm weather place. And if he's going somewhere nice, then perhaps that gives him an excuse to go to this thing. So the next question is, well, okay, I'd love to go to Cancun or Puerto Vallarta, I don't know, somewhere south. I'd love to go there, but I'm afraid of the commitment.
It says other side of the country.
Other side of the country. Okay.
Yeah. So it's probably a coast to coast.
Right. I'm eager to go to said location, but my wife is a little bit concerned about the actual level of commitment here. A, you don't got to go to the bachelorette party. You can easily wiggle your way out of that one. I got something else going. It's going to cost too much money. There are plenty of ways that you can be direct about that without ruining any kind of friendship in the office. All right. And secondly, depending on what the requirements are for this wedding, you're not always required to buy a special kind of dress. You're not always required to do a whole lot in the way of actual commitments surrounding
the wedding. Some people have to fly to showers.
I'm saying you don't have to do that.
Right.
If this is a situation where she's literally just snapping people onto the guest list to try and fill out somewhat of an even spread here between groomsmen and bridesmaids,
right?
I think it's probably within the realm here that she could get away with not having to commit to the full complement of wedding activities.
Yeah.
So what I'd say is first evaluate where it's at. Secondly, if it's somewhere you want to go, push the envelope a little bit and see how much you can get away with if you do commit to this wedding without having to commit to everything.
Right.
And if it turns out that you can go to a cool place without having to sign your life away or pay $1 million to be part of a wedding and get the official attire and whatnot,
right,
then I think it's just a good excuse to go enjoy yourself in a place that you wouldn't normally go to.
You're not quick to dismiss it, but there's engagement stuff. There's, you know, an engagement party. There's showers. There's bachelorette. Then there's responsibilities day of, you know, instead of like hanging out in a cool city, you're taking pictures for 3 hours. Like, it's not the best.
It's not the best, but here's the thing. Every destination wedding I've ever been to has been a lot more laissez-faire about the guest list, about what is expected of guests who are coming to that wedding. If, in fact, you don't want to go to this,
right,
and you don't want to
cause any kind of rift with your friend in the office, mm-hmm. I would just use the cost excuse. If you're afraid of being super direct, just say, you know what? I'd be honored. Thank you so much. Buy him a nice gift. Wish him well. But just say, you know, we're saving for a house, for a car. What, you don't even need an excuse, but we're saving. It's going to cost a little too much. I don't think it's something that we're going to be able to swing this year.
Sure.
Everyone understands that.
Yeah, but you got to get it. You got to talk a little bit more with that.
Yeah.
You have to sort of paint a picture that isn't necessarily true. Not necessarily. Well, here's related strategy for my wedding.
Yes.
So Solid Fiancé has been a bridesmaid of like 14 different friends or something crazy.
Ooh, okay.
She's in a sorority at Michigan, so she's a lot of friends.
Are you going to ask me to be in your wedding? Is that what's happening right here?
No, absolutely not. I haven't had to ask a single person because neither one of us are having a wedding party.
Oh.
No groomsmen, no bridesmaids.
Okay.
I was thinking about it, and I was like, I guess, you know, four or five dudes. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable asking a ton of people to, like, travel and buy things, suits, whatever. I know you weren't, like, a huge fan of that process either, just coordinating everything. But you had a relatively small bachelor party, right?
Had a small, boring bachelor party. It was
boring. Right.
Yeah.
So the Solid Fiancé would have had like, and she had a bachelorette party with like, I don't know, 12, 15 of her friends.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going away with actually like three friends and my two brothers. Because I don't care about coordinating a bunch of people just because it's tradition.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out with 15 people. I don't want to try to get reservations at a restaurant for 15. Like, it's all just a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
So I'm going small, and the only people up at the altar with the two of us are going to be our families.
So okay.
It's easy. Done.
Right.
But in this specific situation, if the groom is having like 10 groomsmen and the bride only has like four people she's comfortable asking, that's a weird dynamic between the two of them. Why don't we get down to a better point?
Yeah.
Why don't we go three each?
Yeah. Like in my wedding, there was a situation where one guy had a girl on each arm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had more groomsmen than Solid Wife had bridesmaids. So you could do a setup like that. Suggest a setup like that if you're in that situation.
Right.
I was at a wedding where it was uneven and the bride's brother actually stood on her side.
An unbalanced front. That's fine.
You know, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. I think wedding-wise, too many people do things just because it's tradition.
Yeah.
I think it's such a waste. Like, I'm not doing a, like, we're not taking dance lessons. Why would we take dance lessons? I don't even remember if you and Solid Wife Kate took dance lessons. Did you?
We took the dance lessons, but didn't do the dance.
Good. So it was just like a background thing.
Yeah.
Just a skill for you guys
just,
to acquire.
Just something, a bonding experience.
Did you toss flowers?
We did not because all of our friends are married already.
Yeah. We're not doing that at all. I mean, yeah, it's the same for us too. We're not doing that.
Are you going to be a cake smasher?
We're not even having cake.
Are you getting married? What are you doing?
We don't
gotta
like
have cake.
Neither one of us like cake. Why would we serve people something that we don't like?
Is there going to be any kind of sugary dessert?
I'm glad you asked, Ty. We're doing a donut wall.
A donut wall. Okay, so explain this to me. What's a donut?
Imagine like a 6 by 6 foot board with like 3-inch pegs coming out of it every like 8 inches.
Like the Plinko game in Price is Right?
Ty, you nailed it exactly.
Okay.
There's going to be like 200 donuts on this wall.
Okay.
And people are dancing. When you're eating cake at a wedding, it's basically like you come back from the dance floor to like take a sip of whatever you're drinking that's at the table.
Right.
And like, oh, there's cake here now. I'm going to have a bite of my cake and go back to the dance floor. I would posit that 73% of served wedding cake goes wasted. I would also say cake is largely for children. I think cake is a waste. I think icing is stupid.
Strong cake takes here on the Solid Verbal.
Cake is
this
so
is what you
dumb.
Get in the off season if you
this is true.
And listen,
but both of us feel this way.
So I've never heard of a donut wall in my life. Where did that
Google donut
come
wall
from?
Right now on the show?
Google donut wall. But where did We're you doing, hear about it?
I had heard of donut towers. Like these structures that you could put donuts. But then in further researching, I did discover that donut walls exist. And you just grab a donut. You're on the dance floor. You feel like something sweet. There is a wall of donuts that you can easily grab. Take it out on the dance floor with you.
Okay, I'm seeing this now.
What do we think?
Are you at all concerned about sanitation?
No, not at all, Ty.
No, okay.
Please, it'll be fine.
I'm not sure how I feel about this, Dan.
Ty, imagine if you don't like cake, or imagine if you like cake, but you don't like strawberry cake, or you don't like chocolate cake, or you don't like vanilla cake, you don't like yellow cake.
Right.
With a donut wall, we're talking variety, Ty.
So will you be doing what appears to be in vogue and having different colored donuts that form a pattern on said donut wall?
No, I don't think there will be an organization to it.
Because I'm looking one here that says, "Donut worry, be happy."
Right.
And then it's got like a K and a D in a white heart on their donut wall. So they took this couple took a picture in front of the donut wall.
Yeah, that's style over substance, and I don't care about that. Okay. I want flavor maximization. So we're going to, you know, if you like glazed donuts, grab a glazed donut. You like sprinkle, you like cake, you like yeast, you like chocolate, you like, well, I guess it'll all be circular. There won't be any twists. You like an old-fashioned donut, Ty?
Yeah.
The place we're getting it from in Chicago has terrific blueberry old-fashioned donuts. I cannot wait to have a blueberry old-fashioned donut while dancing on the dance floor.
If you had a donut wall... And you spelled out Rubenstein in block lettering. That'd be impressive if you did that.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Will there be the exact number of donuts
to guests?
As there will be guests, or will there be
no,
more?
No. There will be one. Ty, you think I'm going to serve not enough food at my wedding?
I would expect at your wedding that everyone will be well fed.
Everybody will be well fed. Most of the food will be handheld.
Okay.
Appetizer, entree, and dessert.
Okay.
And in so addition
really,
to the,
you're really going to try and usurp tradition here.
Absolutely. It's not about usurping tradition, Ty. It's about planning and customizing to who you are.
Right.
There's no reason to eat cake if you don't like cake at your wedding. People are there to celebrate you and what you believe.
Okay. And you're doing the live band thing too, right?
Doing a live band.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great time, Ty.
Were you a live band type of guy?
I am. I really like good bands.
Yeah.
And I know that's like a stupid thing to say because everybody loves good bands, but I will take an average DJ over an average band.
See, I agree. And I won't put words in your mouth. I will speak for myself here. I was very skittish on the idea.
Yeah.
I had to be talked into it because, you know, it is a little bit more expensive, but
I'm now excited though.
Wasn't as expensive as I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And the delta between a DJ and a band was not so great that it wasn't doable.
Right.
And in the end, I'm glad we went that route.
You know what I saw today, by the way? You talked about the cake smashing thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing with like one-year-old birthday parties, right?
Yeah.
Everybody like, oh, they get a cake to smash it.
Yeah.
There is now taco smashing.
Taco smashing.
There's now taco smashing. You can do a lot more damage with a taco, a lot more ingredients to fly everywhere.
You could do the frisbee throw with a donut if you wanted.
That's true.
If you really want to, you know, blaze your own trail.
I think donuts are at least 10,000 times better than cake.
Wow. Okay. On that note, we can throw that out to the listening public, solidverbal@gmail.com.
Right. If you went to a wedding and saw, and you will be going to a wedding, hopefully,
yeah,
and see a donut wall instead of cake.
I'm intrigued.
There is part of you. Your flavor antennas are going up in a way that they're not necessarily going up for cake. A white sheet cake. And this is no comment on other people that like cake and serve cake, but I'm just saying.
It's different. I don't know if it's so much a flavor antenna. I don't know if I have that, but yes, it's interesting. It's interesting.
You're gonna look at the wall and you're not gonna look away right away, are you?
I will probably do the thing where I cross my eyes to try and see the sailboat in it. To try and comprehend it, and then yeah.
You're going to walk up to it like a giant piece of artwork and just sort of study it and figure out how you feel about it and then make a decision. I guess we would eliminate jelly donuts because
jelly
we
donuts
need to be
would
able
not
to
be
hang
a good
them.
Decision. Yeah. To
right.
Put the spike through it would not be. Yeah.
Right. But other than that, we're going variety. I think everybody's going to be very happy. There's going to be so many leftover donuts that we've printed up custom to go personalized, not personalized, but custom donut to go bags.
Okay. I'm excited to talk wedding stuff with you.
Oh, man. Wait till you hear about the food we're serving.
I'm excited. We'll save that for our next show. It's a
Absolutely.
Long off season.
Yep.
I'm excited to talk wedding stuff with you because by the time your wedding rolls around, Kate and I will be at about 2 years, a little over 2 years. So,
wow, that's true.
Which is crazy, but we're veterans of the process now.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm excited to see the direction you take it. My hunch is that it will be a decidedly different direction than Kate and I took ours.
Well, we are getting married in a giant church on the Lehigh campus. So that's...
And then chartering a plane.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's a blimp. It's an extra large blimp to Chicago. Nice.
Okay.
No, it's actually in the same... Yours was a separated venue thing. Separated time of the day, too.
Yeah.
Same venue, right there.
Yeah.
All happening.
I like that. I like that setup.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who wrote in. We got a bunch more questions here that we weren't able to address that perhaps we will next time around. We will be doing more of these Q&A style shows over the next couple months. We joke about the fact that it's a long off season, but it's true. It is a long off season. We do one show a week. We're going to try and pack as much college football content in here as humanly possible, but there will be weeks like this where we just want to talk to the base and see what people are up to out there. We've got our Verbi show, which is going to be coming up in relatively short order. Stay tuned to our Twitter and our Facebook pages and all the usuals. We'll post some details for how you can be active with that. We're also going to talk about the NFL draft. That's coming up. As we said during our live show, this is actually going to be our 10th full season of podcasting. So
yep.
I know you're excited. I know I'm excited to sort of do a show in the vein of our friends, The Starters, what they did on their 10th anniversary, where they sort of tell the full story of the podcast.
The deepest of dives.
So we've got that coming up. We've got a bunch of cool stuff that we've got planned this off season. The only other parting shot that I'm going to throw out there, I talked about it on the last show, but solidverbal.com/donate. I am raising money for children with heart conditions. If anyone wants to throw in, the link is out on our page, solidverbal.com/donate. Any help you're willing to provide would be much appreciated. A lot of people have pitched in. Thank you so much. If anyone else wants to jump on in on that, I'd appreciate it.
Definitely.
All right, Dan, that's all I got.
That's all I have, Ty.
For that gentleman over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you as always for listening to our podcast. Subscribe at itunes.com/solidverbal. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.